was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night falls in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lie. Even in this wealthy nation, it could come down to starvation in the twinkling of an eye. They tell us there will soon be peace, our lives will be an endless feast, but they lead us toward the dark.
The Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Folks, it's getting exciting. It really is truly getting exciting. I tell you, it's like a football game for me. But it does look, it looks like it's going more and more towards Trump. You know, if in the next hour, things are really going to solidify, so... I don't know. The seawall looks like he might be just holding it back.
Well, right now they're saying that New York has only got 1% counted, Pennsylvania 67%. So there's still a long way to go from those two states.
Yeah, but they're going to go. They're going to go to Clinton probably. They historically that's a Democrat area. Well, Pennsylvania might. I don't know. Pennsylvania might not. I know New Jersey.
They just gave Washington State and California to Clinton. It's now 216 Trump, 202 Clinton. What I tell you about that narrative?
Rather interesting. I don't know, bud. I don't know. Oh,
that's
my. Oh, yeah. It looks like... Oh, my. It's getting neck and neck. I thought that he was pulling ahead there with a strong pull away.
I think they're gonna play that narrative of Trump winning to make the steal look more realistic. Potentially,
you might have a point. You might have a point. You just might have a point. Right now, it looks like it's 172 to 168. How about that? But, like I said, New York Times forecast is still pinned very likely with Trump. That hasn't moved.
I've got 216 to 202.
216 to 202. Well, that's better. It's better than 172 to 178, isn't it?
Yep, but given, I mean, Washington State... Their polls just closed, so they can't have much of a percentage in from Washington State, but they already announced it for Hillary. But Washington State is a complete leftist state like Oregon and California. They've already given California to Hillary.
Yeah. Well, that they could have given California to Hillary yesterday, and we...
Yeah. But that's a huge part of the electoral vote, too. California's the biggest state in the union.
Yeah, that was a punch. I don't know. I still don't think it's going to be a hard enough punch.
Call me staying positive, but I think Nevada, I do believe Nevada, Utah, and Arizona, they're very likely to go with Trump, being with all of this business that has been going on with the BLM and all of that business going on in the western states there. I'm not surprised about
Oregon
and Washington.
I still think Harry Reid has Clark County tied down, though. I mean, I
don't know how on God's green earth he could have anything tied down, but,
But he does. He's got
criminal.
He is a total criminal, but I'm telling you what, his power is far-reaching in Clark County.
Yeah.
Las Vegas, obviously.
Yeah. Well, consider the nature of its foundation.
Yeah, and go do man on the street interviews in Las Vegas and ask the people about their feelings about Harry Reid, and they're going to sound just like us. So how this guy can have the lock on power and the reins of power like he does is just based on total utter mafioso corruption.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So what are your results showing right now?
The same. I haven't got an update yet since I said that.
All right. Well, folks, if you want to call in, you want to comment, please feel free to do so. We are watching very closely from two different sources. I'm watching the New York Times, and what are you watching there?
Fox News.
Fox News. So we got Fox polls and the New York Times polls. We're going with, I wouldn't call Fox a friendly, but I'd call it more friendly than New York Times. Right. I'm leaning with the New York Times because it's an adversarial network. So for that reason.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And, disclaimer, you and I both know what Fox News is becoming and what the New York Times has been forever. And the reason we're watching them is because they are in the enemy camp. And so, yeah. They are going to be the worst case scenario of what's reported here.
Yeah, I think so. They still have the New York Times listed as 172, 168, oddly enough. Maybe I need to refresh or something. I just refreshed. And that is what they are. That's what they have so far.
Yeah, well, they're probably not calling it as quickly because a lot of these percentages in are very low. And they're calling a lot of these, I think, very early.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Well, we were going to run a clip on cultural Marxism. I don't know if we should do that. It doesn't look like anything's happening quickly here. Yeah, let's do that. Mike, why don't you roll the clip on cultural Marxism while we dig into some more of this news here?
The United States has undergone a cultural, moral, and religious revolution. And a militant secularism has arisen in this country. It's always had a hold on the intellectual and academic elites. But in the 1960s, it captured the young in the universities and the colleges. And we had this great battle, cultural war, begin then nationally. And since then, if you will, secularism has really achieved dominance in the academic community and the intellectual community and the entertainment community in Hollywood. Among part of the political community, but not the nation as a whole. However, it is much stronger than it was, and so this is the basis of the great cultural war we're undergoing right now. And this militant, it is an anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-traditionalist revolution. It's partly the sexual revolution has a lot to do with it and how people live. And so we are two countries now. We are two countries morally and socially and culturally and theologically, and cultural wars do not lend themselves to peaceful coexistence. One side prevails or the other prevails, and the truth is that while the conservatives, in my judgment, we won the Cold War with political and economic communism, we've lost the cultural war with cultural Marxism, which I think has prevailed pretty much in the United States, or is now the dominant culture, whereas those of us who are traditionalists, we are, if you will, the counterculture.
What exactly is cultural Marxism, the dominant culture of today? How did the founders of communism figure out a way to take over our country, not with guns and weapons, but with values and ideas? Let's take a closer look at this and see exactly how it happened. There was a man named Karl Marx. Marx got an idea. His idea was that the workers of the world should unite and rise up to counter an evil foe. That foe being capitalism. Capitalism, the idea that people and private companies should be able to own the means of production and be free to earn and have as much as they wished, was anathema to Marx. Marx felt the state should own the means of production, as well as products produced, and then the state should distribute a fair share of all such products to each and every worker. Thus, in his book, The Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx thundered, "Workers of the world, unite!" Sure that he had a principle to unify all workers in every country, Marx looked forward to eventually taking over the world.
Karl Marx believed that you would have a rebellion by the workers against the capitalist system, which would then create a Marxist communist society where you would have dictatorship of the proletariat.
Unfortunately, when World War I broke out, the workers of the world did not unite. In fact, the workers united with their respective countries and fought each other.
What happened was the Marxists had an enormous disillusionment when the French and the Germans and the British workers all rose up for the fatherland and went to war happily fighting one another.
Marx's idea was a total failure. Workers were more loyal to their respective countries, churches, and cultural values than they were to their counterparts in other countries.
They did not want to give up their houses, their cars, their stoves, their products. They did not want to have a classless society. They did not vote, and they didn't even have an overthrow.
Some years after Marx failed, several of his disciples got a new idea on how to take over the world. One of his disciples, Antonio Gramsci, while where else but in prison, wrote up a series of plans, now known as the Prison Notebooks. In this plan, Gramsci announced, "The workers of the world will unite only after the Long March is over." The Long March?
In other words, they had to get into the culture and change the way of people's thinking. And if people were thinking about patriotism and nation and God and country, that was a mechanism which was too resistant to Marxism. It could never take hold. So you had to erode and destroy that in the individuals. That began what's called the Long March through the institutions, through the seminaries, through the churches, through the media, through Hollywood, and all the rest of it, to create an anti-Christian culture which would destroy the Christian beliefs and convictions in the vast majority of the people, so they would embrace the ideas of Marxism, and they would embrace the ideas that they had rejected, and they would be open to a takeover, basically, by Marxists. Now, not political Marxists, but cultural Marxists.
Rather than workers uniting and marching into battle, thus seizing power through force, they would make a long march through the institutions. Institutions like the arts, cinema, theater, literature, schools, college, seminaries, newspapers, magazines, and what is now known as radio, TV, and the mass media. Once this march is over, all the barriers to the acceptance of Marxism will have been quietly and systematically removed.
So to get to that point, they said we have to destroy the culture. And what they were talking about was the Christian culture, what we used to call Christendom or Western civilization.
If you can break people away from religious affinities, for example, where they would turn to their community, their religious community, for support and help, or they would turn to Scripture for answers to certain perplexing questions. If they have an affinity to their religion, they might say, well, we're not going to go along with government because it's contrary to my religion. So cultural Marxism would attack religion of all kinds. Doesn't make any difference, because there was another place where people could go other than to the government for support and for answers.
Okay, we're on with an update from the NewYorkTimes.com. NewYorkTimes.com says Donald Trump, so far, 187. Hillary Clinton, 175. We do have...
And on Fox News, they still have it. Trump, 222. Hillary, 202.
All right.
A couple big states that have not come in are Pennsylvania, which is 20 electoral votes.
Yeah, that's going to be it. I think that may go Democrat. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they have Hillary leading Pennsylvania, but you know what? The polls were strong, surging toward Trump coming into this election day. So I think there's some serious foul play going on there. But anyway, 20 electoral votes, Pennsylvania still to come. 16 electoral votes to come in Georgia that's still not being called. Michigan, 16 that's still not being called. Wisconsin, 10. Iowa, 6. But they have a Hillary leading Iowa, believe it or not. Minnesota, 10. And then Arizona, 11. Nevada, 6. Oregon, 7. Those are the states. There's only 8 or 9 states that have not been called, basically.
Okay. And, Jonna, we have on the line right now an RBN host and an extraordinary talk show host. I really enjoy his show, and I was on his show not that long ago. PJ Barton from Wales in the UK. PJ, how are you, brother?
Good morning, brother. I want to just congratulate you as one Irishman congratulating a Yankee. I'm watching it here on three channels.
Love your show, PJ. I listen to it all the time. This is John.
Yeah, this is John, my co-host, PJ.
Very good, very good. I get energized with elections. I've been doing elections since the age of 12. I'm 65 now. I'm watching the figures here as you are on Fox. And the BBC are having to eat their hat, who've been busting their gut to promote Hillary Clinton. I mean, it would make you murderous to watch the carry on the BBC. The liberal, lefty, new age freaks of the world. I'll try not to swear. I've half a bottle of whiskey in me at the moment. I started drinking when the results came in, but I'll be well behaved. I promise you I'll be well behaved. But
what kind of whiskey? What kind of whiskey are you drinking, PJ?
Oh, Scotch. I have it here on the table. I wish I could give you Famous Grouse. That's the best drink you can get.
Oh, Famous Grouse Scotch whiskey. My mother would toast you on that one. I have sitting
very good
in front of me
some
I got some Jack Daniels.
I'll try and send
right
you a
here
bottle for Christmas, right?
I tell you
I'll try my best to send you a bottle for Christmas.
You send me a bottle of that, and I'll send you a bottle of Jack Daniels from Tennessee.
That should
Tennessee, which, by the way, went Trump.
Yeah.
What'd
you say? I was sick to my stomach all week watching the shocking vote rigging and those machines rigging the vote, and I said, Trump has it, but he could be destroyed by this. And I have Chris Ann Hall coming on the program on Saturday. She's only doing half an hour on the Electoral College. And you might listen to that. I don't ask anybody to listen to me, but it's
no,
the information
I would love to listen to that show. I know Chris Ann, and I've seen her, and I've in person several times, and really? Had her on my show. She's a wonderful, wonderful person.
Oh, she's a feisty little person. I mean, she does 260 presentations a year across America. I don't know how she does it. I just don't know how.
Neither do I, man. She went to Oregon and did an amazing presentation in Oregon.
Yeah. I put her video to that, but she's on once before, and I asked her to come up for Christmas, and she's as good as her word. She's very busy on a Saturday. I have this freaking crap time at 8 a.m. when everybody's asleep on a Saturday morning, 8 a.m. Central, but I'm not attacking John on that. I'm lucky to be on at all. But she's going on for 9:30 to 10, the last half hour, but I'll give her the floor and she'll talk about the Electoral College, which George Soros has put up, we hear, $10 million to bribe the members of the Electoral College, by the way. Do take that on board. And this is going to be a battle.
Yes, I did hear that. I believe his exact words were, oh, Trump may get the popular vote, but the Electoral College is a done deal.
Well, that'll be the gunfight of the OK Corral in terms of if they try to pull a stunt on that. What needs to be done on the Patriot Movement and your program and other OBN and GCN, although GCN are disgraced, they haven't covered very little on this at all, or the Lavoie Finnegan thing, but to shine a light on the members of the, in each state, of the Electoral College. Shine a light, put their names up, put their photographs up, and put the results up, and shine a light on them. That's the only way to do it.
Yes, sir.
Well, I agree with you, and since I talked to you last, I've been using that term, prestitutes, quite often.
Yeah, indeed. I'm sorry about this line. I need a new phone here. I've a good internet system. The big time here is 21 megabytes a second. I'm just watching Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly eating her her attitude and pretending to support Trump. She's a vile, poisonous bitch. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, be careful, PJ.
even with her embalmed makeup, you know. But I hate to see her without that makeup, you know. Things I can't say on this program, you know.
Makeup. Embalmed makeup, I love it.
No, I'm delighted for you that you've a very happy program tonight. I won't delay you, but it looks like he's going to win. Do you think so, Ian?
You know, like I said to my co-host here, John, I said, you know, in my gut, I kind of feel, I feel the pulse of America, and I think America has spoken. I think that they want Trump, and the popular vote is definitely going to go with Trump. But, you know, there has been a lot of crooked business that went on leading up to this. The only thing that I say is that I have a funny feeling that they may have overplayed. You know, they got exposed by WikiLeaks. They got exposed by Project Veritas. I mean, some of the DNC folks were just completely out and out, completely exposed, fomenting violence and then trying to pin it on Trump. Yep. You know, I think that if this goes to Clinton, people will have to go to jail as a result of what has been exposed. Oh, yeah. And there's the American people, I think, have just about had enough. I don't think that they're going to tolerate people not going to prison over the fraud that has been committed.
Oh, yeah. And he's just won, by the way, Utah, which there was a spoiler candidate in there trying to take it off him. But they've given Utah to Trump as well, by the way, 6.6 votes. And just watching them all trying to eat their hat now, they're pretending they weren't ignorant bigots, lying gits up to now on all stations. Fox, well, Hannity was doing his best for Trump, in fairness, but the rest of them, such lying shills. And I've never seen, I'm repeating myself now, but I've never seen such organized, multi-layer criminal syndicates, the mainstream media, the banks, and everybody who are criminals in America walking in lockstep to get Hillary Clinton. It's like, as I say, that phrase, you know, married to the mob. That's what they are. They're married to the mob.
Well,
get this creature elected, but there you are. That's the thing.
I tell you, if she does win, PJ, if she wins, I say two things. One, I will not stop. I will not give up. I will not lay down, and I will not shut up. However, I tell you,
absolutely,
if she wins with the things that I'm going to be running and playing, I do believe I'll have to probably look over my shoulder.
That's right. No, she won't win. But I'll tell you one last story. After the war, Winston Churchill, a fantastic man, you know the phrase, come at the hour, come at the man, it was Winston Churchill. And he went around visiting his old school, which is a privileged school. And then he went to all the working class schools in London. And he went to this working class school where the headmaster was giving this eulogizing interview, and he started banging his walking stick on the thing to stop talking. So he gets stood up, and he abandoned his speech, and he looks around the young children, and he says, I've only three words to say to you young men. Never give up, never give up, never give up. And he sat down, and there was a deafening silence, and then there was a standing ovation. They realized he was talking about the war effort, you know, Never give up. Never give up.
Yeah.
And they put that on the new £5 note here. I'll send you one of those.
Yeah.
Anyway,
please.
I'll let you go and continue with your
BJ,
program.
BJ, don't leave yet.
Yep.
Don't leave yet. I need you to do me a personal favor. I don't know if you're familiar with Amy Goodman of Democracy Now. Okay, well, if you would, go to democracynow.org, and she did a piece on the Oregon and the Dakota Access Pipeline, calling the Bundys the white militia, white extremist, whatever she wants to call it. She did a short video. It was, I think, about 20-30 minutes long. I did it on the program the other night and responded to it in kind. If you would take some time and consider peeling her head back for me, figuratively speaking, of course, I would appreciate it.
Do you want me to look at that video?
Check it out and tell me what you think, and maybe you could share it with your listeners of how these prostitutes take information. Maybe I can even come on the show and we can talk about it.
Sure.
And I can share with you there was somebody that she did an interview with on the show, a liberal little snide suckling, his name is, and it's I think it's very appropriate for him, but he was offered coffee, he was treated with respect when he came out there, and he basically went on and called everybody, they were antagonistic and violent, and he was afraid, and they were racist. Uh-huh. He's white, and he's claiming that, uh-huh, that the behavior that was exhibited to him was racist behavior. Now, he's white, and he's saying that all of these folks were white. I don't exactly know where racism played into it, but this is
Mark
rhetoric.
Did one on that. Yeah, Mark Rice. Yeah. Mark Rice did a very good one. That if you don't like Mexican food, you're racist. You know those things he does along the promenade, and these idiots agreed with him. But he's an outstanding guy. But with that mentality in California, well, they voted. They deserve Hillary Clinton. I hope they get her as local governor. Even though Brown is a demonic creature. But no, thank you. No, I'll tell you. Please, as a Saturday's program, I just prepping us. Chris and all can only come on for the last half hour. 9:30 to 10. If you want to phone in at 8 o'clock, we'll have a go at that. Is that okay?
Well, sure. That would be great.
Phone in to RBN at 8 a.m. Central, and we'll have a go. I look at this video, and we'll take it from there on Saturday. Is that okay?
That's great, man. That'd be wonderful. I look forward to it. I'll see you there.
Good on you.
All right.
Good on
you. PJ, thank you. PJ Barton.
You have my email address.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do. I'll stay in touch with you until then. PJ,
Saturday morning, anytime, like 8:15, and I look at that video, and we'll take it from there, and that'll be a good run-in. You can stay on there, and we'll talk to Chris and Hall for the last half hour, okay?
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And PJ Barton in Wales, folks, he's an RBN host, Saturday, 8 to 10 a.m. Central Time. Please tune into the show Yes, tune into the show Saturday with PJ
Barton. You're making me nervous now. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you then. Okay,
don't be nervous, PJ. We love you, man.
PJ, cheers.
Yeah, we'll be back after a few words from our folks. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with three shots from the rear and one shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years. Since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
I'm not going to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Be patient, folks. I have news coming in.
He presumed that Trump was going to keep the Romney states in the Republican column. Yeah. And
Trump just won another
state. All along has been, how is he going to get that extra?
It appears as though Trump is 232 to 209. He just won Iowa.
And Wisconsin, which is 10. That's
yep, they gave Oregon to Hillary. That's the only thing she...
And Wisconsin. Wisconsin and Iowa go to Trump.
69, one electoral vote away from winning the presidency.
Don't forget, they still have not called Georgia. That 16 electoral votes, and we know Trump lacks Georgia.
And then...
I think
enhance it to him.
I think we have it. Folks, I think we might have it.
I've got it 238 to 209. 238 to 209.
238 to 209, folks. Okay, we have a caller on the line. Mike in Kentucky. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, that previous guy with the Brit accent was talking about flipping between channels. One of the things that I noticed with the different networks is the left-leaning networks are delaying their electoral counts so that, you know, with the exception, I guess, of PBS NewsHour, they're almost on par with Fox News, but they are delaying some of the calls for Trump. So they still have him at 228. The 209,
right?
And CNN headline news that they were way behind what Fox was calling.
They're
trying to hold their audience is what they're trying to do. They don't want to concede that Trump is going to win early.
That's right.
I've switched over
from the New York Times, which was also lagging, by the way, to FoxNews.com. Fox News, you know, is not my favorite network. But out of all of the mainstream media networks, of course, it's the one that I pay attention to more than the others. But knowing that the neoconservative twang, with Rupert Murdoch, I take it all with a very big grain of salt. However,
well,
I have to say for the Wall Street or for the New York Times, they did have their that little meter that they predict, and that was pinned at Trump. So I got to give them that much.
A couple of things though that are of note, I think tonight that's not being talked about much is the last democratically controlled House of Representatives in the southern states here in Kentucky is now going to go Republican, and Princeton.
Wow.
Yeah, Princeton had a map out about 3 weeks ago, and if you can find that, don't pay any attention to the red versus blue states so much as you notice the distortion. It is a distortion map that shows how there is a real lack of relevance for the states in flyover country. Chicago, New York, and California, of course, pretty much are as liberal as you can get as far as politics goes. And so, if you look at
the entire left,
you look at the Electoral College. If Hillary wins this election, and Trump doesn't, in other words, if like Trump wins a popular vote, but the Electoral College votes for Clinton, she will have a big feather in her cap toward her agenda. And a lot of Trump people will mistakenly go for it and jump on the bandwagon to get rid of the Electoral College. If you remember Peter Cushing from the Star Wars movie, he was celebrating the last remnant of the old republic has been swept away. And that's what the Electoral College is, because we're not supposed to have a pure democracy. The District of Corruption is supposed to be foreign to the states, and they've robbed us of our state citizenship. I think you've talked about that.
Yes.
And try to, entice us or lure us into U.S. citizenship exclusively. But that map is pretty graphic in showing how that New England from, the mega city from Virginia on up into Massachusetts and then the left coast dominate. They dominate our politics based on just the population. And to get rid of the Electoral College means that the states like Texas up through the Dakotas and all across the South and even Indiana, we lose our relevance to national politics even more by doing that, because it would get rid of we would just be dominated by the overwhelming masses on the east and left coast.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the population centers from Washington State, Oregon, California, completely left coast, and then the Northeast from Virginia all the way up. You know, that is a very small part of the overall continental United States, and you're exactly right. We let us subjugate ourselves to a pure democracy and get rid of the Electoral College.
The end stage of all forms of government that have tried to be a other than an whatever, a monarchy or a dictatorship. It'll probably lead to a dictatorship, really. Pure democracy ends in that, and of course...
Sure,
by way of another example, the District of Columbia, it's like 160 million, or excuse me, 260 million voters, 10 million voted for Trump, 250 million went for Clinton. So that's how out of balance the District of Columbia is.
Can you repeat that?
249 million voted for Clinton in the District of Columbia. 10 million
you mean
voted for
249,000.
249,000, yeah.
I'm sorry, 249,000, excuse me, yes. I'm sorry, 249,000 and 10,000 voted for Trump. So that's how off balance it is. I mean, just to, by way of example. And then you can find that all up through New England and in the liberal,
and
runaway
liberal.
You made
a great point right there. You made a great point there because the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., 10 miles square, which is the seat of the usurpation and corruption. I mean, the fact that they're 95% in the tank for Clinton and the globalist agenda, if that just doesn't tell the entire story right there, then nothing does. I mean, you made an excellent point right there.
Yeah,
and that
agree.
Map, I'll tell you, that map really puts it in perspective, literally, because it distorts the states based on their weight with the Electoral College. And it's predominantly blue in the Northeast and the left coast, as I've called it several times there.
Yeah.
The big one in the middle, of course, is Illinois, which, of course, Clinton is from Illinois. No big surprise that she's probably going to take Illinois, but she lost Arkansas badly. So I thought that was
amazing.
Funny. I thought it was funny.
Queen of Arkansas.
Yeah, she lost Arkansas. But anyway, somewhat amusing.
Okay, but, folks, 254 to Trump, 209 to Clinton. They finally gave Georgia to Trump.
Yep.
Wow. 254, we've got, what is that, 16 to go.
Yep. And PBS has it. Well, see, that's the thing. PBS and these other networks are not keeping their electoral count on the screen all the time. Now they have it at 244 versus 209 with Trump on top.
Yeah. They're lagging
behind. Not keeping
behind.
It on the screen.
Yeah.
Well, it was 238 to 209, but then Georgia went 16 electoral votes to Trump. So it brings him to 254. But the popular vote is 48,185,000 Trump to 46,578,000
to Clinton.
Yeah, I mean, they've only got this by about 1.5 million votes separating the two. And we know darn well in a pure populist vote, Trump would annihilate her.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike. You were saying something. Go ahead.
I was going to say, by way of example, CNN is way down at 216 versus 209 for Clinton. So they're really catering to they're catering to their audience. They don't want to lose their lefty audience, you know. So they're trying to keep them, you know, in suspense.
You know what? I'm doing a meme on that right now. I'm going to CNN and I'm taking screenshots and I'm going to put it side by side. Election forecast.
Well, that's because they know that their dumbed-down viewership will stay tuned as long as they play their charade. And as soon as if they told the truth of what's going on right now, everybody would just turn off their TVs,
turn off
CNN or whatever. Yeah, go to bed. And they want to keep that viewership and those ratings as long as they possibly can.
Man, that looks
I just want to let the callers know that are hanging on the line. We will be getting to you. Don't hang up.
Oh, yeah. I'll let you guys go.
Just to let you know. No, hey. Thank you, brother. And I appreciate you calling in. You have a great night.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, he was a great call. He made some really great points there. Fred in Michigan. Fred,
yes,
you're on.
Hey there, fellas.
Hello,
hey, Fred.
At 9:30 tonight, I was tuned into a African American 50,000 water out of Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and there's a, I would say, a clone of Nelson Mandela, who's a big-time Saul Alinsky, Rules for Revolution, Radical protege.
Yeah, Rules for Radical.
His name, dig this, Bankole Thompson.
You can't make that up.
So anyway, I called in. I was going to crash his cast because he brought out a Senator Gary Peters of Michigan, who replaced the magnanimous, infamous, nefarious. What was that guy's name? This escapes me now. He's a Babylonian Talmudist from Michigan. Carl Levin.
Carl Levin.
Never been a war, a Talmudic war that Carl Levin didn't vociferously promote. Anyway, he cited the Detroit Free Press, some guy by the name of Kiska, right? Well, this Gary Peters dude is touting all the wondrous benefits of the Hillary-Billary Clintonista crime cabal since he was governor, okay? But this guy, Senator Gary Peters, was the chieftain of the Michigan lottery system, whatever he's called, the czar. I'll call him a czar, okay? The Michigan lottery czar. And this guy wants to bring AI to an airport. It was a World War II airport, Willow Run, for all this Elon Musk, Google, self-driving car technology, okay? So anyway, they wouldn't put me on. But they called Michigan for a Hillary Clintonista. Now, if anyone in your audience has not seen the YouTube presentation entitled Antichrist Unveiled, an honorable Hebrew American scholar, Jonathan Kleck, Jonathan Kleck, Antichrist Unveiled. You have to see it. It's the absolute quintessential perfect metaphor for the presidential selection installment pep rally psyops. And once you see that, I watched it at least a dozen times in the summer of 2015. And there is no escaping the reality that whoever is installed, it's a rigged installment process. Okay, now,
sure.
In 2004, FBI, along with Senator Fritz Hollins of South Carolina, the Southern gentleman, was retiring, and then Ralph Nader. Those two guys gave their own speeches, Hollins in the Senate, Nader because he was a presidential candidate. And they said that the United States government is totally co-opted, controlled, directed from top to bottom by the Rothschild Bank of England, Talmudic Israeli, AIPAC, Jewish Policy Council, which Tex Mars expounded on numerous times on another broadcast. He said Jewish Policy mm-hmm. Council, Tex said this, is above all the other Jewish entities in this, the subversive Talmudic entities. Maybe not Shabbat Lubavitch. Anyway, Holland said that they can't do anything in the Senate that is not Israeli first, and AIPAC, according to FBI, is a 65,000-member spy network. across America. 65,000 members, yeah. My network. Okay, so why are we sitting back? I look at Wall Street and the likes of Lloyd Blankfein, who showed up, I don't know, 2 years ago in Detroit and with none other than Rand Paul at his side. And the purpose of their sudden appearance in Detroit was to enunciate the inauguration of enterprise zones that Goldman Sachs, whom Lloyd Blankfein is the chairman of, $40 million a year plus, and Rand Paul was essentially holding hands with Lloyd Blankfein. We're going to carve up the TWA into enterprise zone. Okay? Now, an honorable Hebrew-American attorney, Saul Green, was interviewed on an all-news broadcast, 9:50 a.m. I heard it with my own ears. I even called to make sure they were going to follow up on it. Saul Green came out and said, this ensures, Lloyd Blankfein, Goldman Sachs, ensures that Detroit is going to be plundered, pillaged by the Wall Street gangsters. Can you imagine this? A Hebrew attorney coming out. So I tracked this. I brought it out on this African-American 50,000 water a dozen times or more over the last several months. Nobody will interview Saul Green. It's as if this guy never existed, nor was ever interviewed by WWJ 9:50 a.m. I call there to the news station, to the news director. I say, hey, how come you're not following up with Saul Green? Obviously, the bankruptcy is a fraud. I told him about Clint Richardson's excellent expose, the Stockton bankruptcy lie. All these damn bankruptcies are manufactured fraud, including 1933. It's all manufactured fraud. The national debt is all manufactured fraud. All debt is contractual. All right?
That's right.
I hear you, brother. We have another caller in the line, so all right. I need you to finish up your thought, because I don't want to leave him hanging. I didn't need him to drop. I just need him to finish his thought.
If he's still listening, he made some really, really great points there.
He did make some excellent points. I do, too.
Please call back.
Fred in Pennsylvania. Fred, you're on. We only have a couple minutes.
Yeah, I'm in Philadelphia. Can you hear me?
Oh, you're in Philly.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm in Philadelphia. I've been working for 3 days on the Trump campaign.
This is where the action is.
I'm right in the headquarters on South Street in Philadelphia, and we've been listening and watching all night.
Awesome.
Well, what did you hear? Can you hear me now?
That's awesome. I hope that I can hear you. Now. I can hear you.
Yeah,
I'd like to know what he heard about the voter fraud in Philly campaign on
South Street in Philadelphia, and I've been working for 3 days on this, and this has just been rolling in the returns. And
what have you heard about the voter fraud there?
Well, we're going to win Pennsylvania regardless.
You think so?
We're checking the precincts and the county statistics, and that's more accurate than the kind of statistics that you're hearing.
Well, if he wins Pennsylvania, that's going to put him at 274. That would put him over the top. Pennsylvania will put Trump over the top.
Yeah.
Well, I have to get going, but I wanted to let you know the facts on this.
Thank you.
Great show you're having.
Well, thank you
so much. We really appreciate that. I knew that I had to get to you.
I appreciate that. Folks, there you have it. And for the caller before
for the caller before Fred, Fred in Michigan rather than Fred in Philly. Fred in Michigan, I didn't want you to drop off so, so fast, brother. I was just trying to tell you we had one more person we had to get to, and we only have a few
minutes. Yeah, and Fred
minutes.
In Michigan, please call back on another show.
I want to call out the... yes, please call back. Excellent points. Can you do me a favor, give me coverage, John, of what the recent numbers are?
Okay, Trump 254, Clinton 209. If our Fred in Pennsylvania is correct and they do get Trump the victory there, that will put him at 274 over the top. There will be nothing else Clinton can do. So there's still, what, 9-10 states that have not been called. And so but Pennsylvania at this point, I think, is really the key. Probably the other one is Arizona and Minnesota. So there you have it. 254-209 Trump. Popular vote, 49,672,000.
In the meantime, I've been taking...
Go ahead.
Yeah, in the meantime, I was taking screenshots of what I said I would, which was send as opposed to Fox News, as opposed to a few others. And I just made a photographic comparison. I put it out on Facebook. I put it out on Twitter. I just sent it out there just to show the distortion in the coverage. It's really kind of disheartening, man. But hey, you know, that's what we do.
But it's exactly what we know, isn't it?
Yep.
It's exactly what we know they are.
That's exactly right. That is exactly
what's your final thought,
right.
Tom?
We got to you know, it's good to show you. My final thoughts. Go Seawall!
Yeah. Well, I think tomorrow's going to be a very interesting
go
show.
Go Seawall.
Everybody needs to tune in to the broadcast tomorrow. Please, everybody, tune in.
Yeah. Yes, and please go to RTR Truth Media on Twitter and look for the tweet, CNN distorts election coverage, CNN the Fox... the RBN Republic Broadcasting Network reports. Folks, I also want you to go to rtrtruthmedia.com, click on that PayPal, support the broadcast, and those of you that are mailing checks into RBN, please call us first so that you can properly write the name, my legal name. You've been writing, I added Stewart onto my last name in memory of my mother who passed away. It was her maiden name. And those of you who are mailing me checks that say Tom Lacabara Stewart, I can't cash them and deposit them into the RBN account because it's not my legal name. They're giving me a hard time on that. So if you would, Lacabara, and send them into RBN. Or you can just go to PayPal, click on that PayPal button, support us that way. And, of course, if you don't have money, you can just share all of our stuff on social media. I just uploaded a new video tonight basically showing you what LaVoy Finicum was, which was the United Nations Rewilding and Agenda 21. Check that out on RTR Truth Media at YouTube. Thank you for tuning
very
in to the election coverage. I wish we had I wish we got a complete flame, but you're just going to have to hang in there and wait. We'll be with you tomorrow. Resurrect Republic Truth Radio Broadcast, Tom Lacabara Stewart, and John O. Mesmer.
Hey, great show, Tom. Good night, all.
Yeah!
Good night. See you all. See you all. See you all.
See you all. Oh, yeah.
ops. Total ops.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.